Chapter 30. Outside it was night. Farah walked along the quiet streets of Glay, and for the first time it struck him that the Weapon Shop Information Center must be halfway around the world, for there it had been day. The picture vanished as if it had never existed, as he grew aware again of the village of Glay asleep all around him, silent, peaceful, yet ugly, he thought, ugly with the ugliness of evil enthroned. He thought, the right to buy weapons, and his heart swelled into his throat. The tears came into his eyes. He wiped his vision clear with the back of his hand, thought of Creel's long-dead father, and strode on without shame. Tears were good for an angry man. The hard metal padlock yielded before the tiny blazing power of the revolver. One flick of fire, the metal dissolved, and he was inside. It was dark, too dark to see, but Farah did not turn on the lights immediately. He fumbled across to the window control, turned the windows to darkness vibration, and then clicked on the lights. He gulped with awful relief as he saw that the machines, his precious tools that he had watched the bailiff carry away, were here again, ready for use. Shaky from the pressure of his emotion, Farah called Creel on the telestat. It took a little while for her to appear, and she was in her dressing gown. When she saw who it was, she turned very pale.
Farah! Oh, Farah, I thought...
He cut her off grimly. Creel, I've been to the weapon shop. I want you to do this. Go straight to your mother. I'm here at my shop. I'm going to stay here day and night until it's settled that I stay. I shall go home later for some food and clothing, but I want you to be gone by then. Is that clear? Color was coming back into her lean, handsome face. She said,
Don't you bother coming home, Farah. I'll do everything necessary. I'll pack all that's needed into the car plane, including a folding bed. We'll sleep in the back room at the shop.
Morning came palely, but it was 10 o'clock before a shadow darkened the open door, and Constable Jor came in. He looked shamefaced. I've got an order here for your arrest, he said. Tell those who sent you, Farah replied deliberately, that I resisted arrest with a gun. The deed followed the words with such rapidity that Jor blinked. He stood like that for a moment, a big, sleepy-looking man, staring at that gleaming, magical revolver. Then, I have a summons here ordering you to appear at the Great Court of Fur this afternoon. Will you accept it? Certainly. Then you will be there? I'll send my lawyer, said Farah. Just drop the summons on the floor there. Tell them I took it. The weapon shop man had said, Do not ridicule by word any legal measure of the imperial authorities. Simply disobey them. Jor went out, seemingly relieved. It took an hour before Mayor Mel Dale came pompously through the door.
See here, Farah Clark, he bellowed. You can't get away with this. This is defiance of the law.
Farah was silent as his honor waddled farther into the building. It was puzzling, almost amazing, that Mayor Dale would risk his plump, treasured body. Puzzlement ended as the mayor said in a low voice,
Good work, Farah. I knew you had it in you. There's dozens of us in Glay behind you, so stick it out.
I had to yell at you just now because there's a crowd outside. Yell back at me, will you? Let's have a real name-calling. But first, a word of warning. The manager of the automatic repair shop is on his way here with his bodyguards, two of them. Shakily, Farah watched the mayor go out. The crisis was at hand. He braced himself, thought, Let them come. Let them... It was easier than he had expected, for the men who entered the shop turned pale when they saw the holstered revolver. There was a violence of blustering, nevertheless, that narrowed down finally to,
Look here, the man said. We've got your note for 12,100 credits. You're not going to deny you owe that money.
I'll buy it back, said Farah stonily, for exactly 1,000 credits, the amount actually paid to my son. The strong-jawed young man looked at him for a long time. We'll take it, he said finally, curtly. Farah said, I've got the agreement here. His first customer was old man Miser Land Harris. Farah stared at the long-faced oldster with a vast surmise, and his first, amazed comprehension came of how the weapon shop must have settled on Harris' lot by arrangement. It was an hour after Harris had gone that Creel's mother stamped into the shop. She closed the door.
Well, she said, you did it, eh? Good work.
I'm sorry if I seemed rough with you when you came to my place, but we weapon shop supporters can't afford to take risks for those who are not on our side. But never mind that. I've come to take Creel home. The important thing is to return everything to normal as quickly as possible.
It was over. Incredibly, it was over. Twice, as he walked home that night, Farrah stopped in mid-stride and wondered if it had not all been a dream. The air was like wine. The little world of Glay spread before him, green and gracious, a peaceful paradise where time had stood still.